keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for this building, grateful for this group, grateful for your love, and Father, grateful for the sacrifice of your Son that day on the cross. Lord, I pray now that you wipe away any and all distraction, Lord, any and all frustrations, that, Lord, you grab a hold of me, and, Lord, you work your will out through your word in each and every one of our lives. For its name of Jesus we pray, amen. Chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs, or Proverbs number 7, I guess we really don't have to say there's chapters, but Proverbs 7 talks about three women. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there are four women overall that are spoken of. Many folks, many books have been written about the Proverbs 31 woman. She is impressive. She is wonderful. She is what anybody would strive to be. Not just a woman, but she is amazing. She's responsible. She's got all of her stuff together. We love the Proverbs 31 woman. The two women that are discussed here in Scripture are a little different. They are figurative women. They are actions or thoughts or notions that are given a female representation. They're called women. It's kind of like an illustration, I guess. I'm choking over my words already. But as we continue reading through, keep my commandments, this is verse 2, and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thine fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Now, I was the oldest in my family. I never experienced this, but I did have friends and acquaintances. They had the good blessing of an older sister. And what an older sister does, the older sister watches out for you. There is that difference, there is that brattiness that goes between the older and the younger sibling, but the older sister watches out. And you know what she also watches out for? She watches out for other girls who may come and be a bother, either a bully to a younger sister or an inappropriate relationship with a younger brother. It is good to have wisdom as a family member. It is good to have that relationship with wisdom to where I can rely on it. And wisdom is looking out for me. And when we say that, of course, that's anthropomorphic. But really, wisdom isn't looking out for you. By having wisdom, you are prevented from doing the foolish things. As wisdom is your older sister, in a way, she can come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, have you thought about this? Hey, I know that looks good, but consider that. Hey, I've got your best interest at heart here. You got to listen to me. Of course, we see as wisdom being the older sister, understanding is the kinswoman. Right? The relative in the family, perhaps a cousin, an aunt, a family friend is understanding. That comes in and explains the harder details. That comes in and through getting the things that are happening on around you, they can explain things. We've all got that one relative that we can call for certain things, right? I've got an uncle that could take a motor apart, put it back together. I've got a father-in-law who's a really good mechanic. He's a good contractor. He knows how to do stuff. When I've got questions, I pick up the phone, I call him, right? It's good to have family members that know things. Right, what the Bible is saying here is you've got to have understanding as someone that you're always able to reach out to that can fill things in for you. Because the idea that any one of us is born having all the answers is a joke, and we all know it. We need people who understand. Look at how our church itself runs. A large group of people that can do varying amounts of things. Right? And some of you, you've got more than one talent. You've got multiple fields of study, multiple fields of experiences that you put together that at any given moment, you can shell out that knowledge and understanding for the Lord. That is a wonderful thing to have. I like our meetings where we can get together and we all know people and we can all work together on things. It is a fantastic thing. Wisdom and understanding needs to have that relationship with us. To where I am listening to wisdom. I am listening to understanding. Because otherwise there is that third woman in chapter 7 that will get us. Isn't that what happens? You don't listen to your older sister. You don't listen to that kinswoman. You don't listen to that advice that was given to you by somebody that knows better.
what happens? There's always somebody comes along, stirs the pot a little bit. You always fall into stuff. I had a conversation with somebody just recently. Listen, I told you when you were a kid, you get mixed up with this stuff, you'll be in this stuff for the rest of your life. And you looked at me and you laughed and you said, I'm being ridiculous. But here we are, 15, 20 years later, and it still got you by the nose. Right? Then listen. We need to fall in line with what wisdom and understanding gives us, or there will be things that we cannot get out of. What we need is we need to find ourselves among the right company. And of course, when we're looking at that, we can say the right kind of people, the right influences. Of course, we're talking about that. But in the passage or the purpose of this scripture, we need to beware of the right company. Verses 1 through 5 enumerates to us who the right company is. Son, listen to my words. Why? So you'll have a longer life. You'll have an easier life. You'll not fall into all of the mistakes I watch other people make. Listen to your father. Make wisdom your sister. Have understanding as your kinswoman. You know, there's a lot of us who would do a whole lot better if we would have listened better when we were kids. I'm sure we've all got stories of that, don't we? Many times we've had to go back to a father, a mother, somebody from the church, and we say, hey, listen, if I had have listened to your, if I had just done what you told me to do in this situation, never would have happened. I'll tell myself I'll do this. There was a Melissa Lentz, if you ever get a chance to meet her, she is a wonderful, wonderful, godly woman who is very sweet, very kind, but will take nothing from anybody. You don't want to mess with her. Right, my life's been always kind of filled with those kind of women. Very powerful, very smart, very strong women that come off sweet. But don't mess with them. So anyway, I was in high school and there was this girl that I grew up with. And we sat at lunch together all the time. And all of a sudden we stopped getting along. It was probably my fault. But I got around this other girl who went to another Baptist church. And I just thought she was the bee's knees, man. I was very excited. But we didn't believe in the same things. We didn't want the same things in life. We were completely different. All that she knew is that she wanted to marry a preacher and I wanted to be a preacher. That's all we needed. And she sat me down one day and she said, Matt, listen, I want to tell you this. I don't think you guys have the same goals. I don't think you have the same aims. And I don't think you should be putting the value as high on what you think is so valuable about this relationship. And I looked at her and said, hey, listen, I go, I've got to make my own decisions. And to me, this looks a whole lot better. And I think this will be just fine. Don't worry about it. She got a little upset at me, but she was gracious. But I got all kinds of upset at her. Well, guess who ended up having to go back and eat crow? Guess who decided to have that crow on his wedding day? I'm sitting next to my wife, and I was adamant, this relationship's going to work out. It's going to be fine. The relationship didn't work out. It was not fine. It went exactly how she said it would work. And I'm sitting there next to my brand new wife, and I look over at Melissa Lentz, and I go, and I've told her several times, had you not stepped in and set me straight, what I might have lost, what I might not have had. You understand? We need to be able to listen to those around us that have been there and done that and have the understanding. We need to be able to sit there and lay aside the pride, pick up wisdom and understanding, and let our ears get to work sometimes. It is so sad, the state of young people and their relationship to preaching. Nobody wants to hear anything anymore. We want to come in. We want the credit for being there. Give me the bicycle for showing up. But I don't want to listen. And if I hear it, I don't want to take it home and apply it. We need to be able to listen when we're told. The book of Proverbs is one man writing to another. One man writing down wisdom and understanding. Hey, listen, this is what needs to be there. And there are a couple writers, but all of them playing the same part. Listen to wisdom, because there's a truckload of foolishness out there, and it looks good and it smells good, and all of a sudden you're Eve in the garden and the fruit looks right. I could eat that. And I tell you what, there's something about it makes me think I could be wise. makes me think it is good for food. I can have this. What's the big deal about it? And you bite into it and all you find is death. All you find is regret. You know, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I've got an opinion. I think that fruit tastes good. Is that too far? Is it too far of a guess? I think that fruit tasted good to Eve. I think she liked it. And you know what? Every sin's like that. In the moment, in the feeling, in what you're doing. Oh, it's good. It feels good. I get the rush. I get the thrill. I'm not supposed to do it, so I get the adrenaline bump. I get all the dopamine. I get all the stuff that this is given to me. It's got to be good. But you never stop to count the cost. You never stop to think what it is that it's costing you. And there's no such thing as a victimless crime. Though no one but you could be hurt, you still stand before God. It's Him who wrote the book, Him who judges the book, Him who closes the book on you. That is what we're looking at. We need to learn to listen. When our fathers, when our pastors, when our mothers, when the people in the church, we stand up and the book of God is open and it is preached from and it's not filtered and it's not messed with and it's not changed, our ears ought to be open. And we ought to be willing to apply. So we listen to those that are speaking. We have wisdom. We know what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowledge and practice, right? Knowledge and practice. I told that story in Sunday school class this morning. Knowledge says that when I'm traveling in a truck with a mattress in the back of it, I strap it down good. Right? Wisdom is going out there and strapping it down good. Right? Wisdom is knowing what, it's not just the knowing, but it's the putting it into place. It is the putting it into practice. I know that hundreds of other people have been bit by this sin and can't shake it. So therefore, I'm not going near it. That's wisdom. Knowledge sees the pain. Knowledge sees the cost. Knowledge sees the risk. Wisdom puts a gate around it and says, I'm not going over there. I'm not doing it. That's wisdom. We need wisdom. Well, just because it hurt others doesn't mean it's not going to hurt me. You know what? Peter said that to Jesus, didn't he? Right? When Jesus told the disciples what was about to happen, Peter said, oh no, Lord. Oh no, no. I'll go to jail for you. I'll die for you. No, I will not. Peter, you're going to deny me three times today. Three times. Before that rooster goes off, you're going to deny me three times. Oh no. Jesus goes on to give that warning. I told you before, don't take no food, don't take no raiment, right? I'm barely quoting here. Right? I'm telling you now, prepare. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth of the matter. We are never as strong as we think we are. Right. Oh no, but I was watching on a television show. It says that I'm all the kinds of strong I need to be. Okay, well, as long as a cartoon character tells you that, I guess it's okay. Never mind all the strong people sitting in hospitals right now because they toyed with something they were too strong for. Never mind all the rehab centers, the gutters, the ditches, the graves that people sit in because they were too strong to fail. That is the anthem of everybody doomed to fail. I am not gonna fail. We need preparation. You can't just rattle stuff off like that. Put it in a television show, put it in a sitcom, have somebody in a fancy suit or tie or whatever kind of hair you want them to have. You put them out there, they can tell you you're strong as possible. But you don't know that. You don't know what will get you. We think we know. We think we know how strong we are until that day. And you're not that strong. And all of a sudden you find yourself loaded with regret, loaded with loss and peril. We need wisdom. The wisdom to be able to say no. We need to both know what to do, use that knowledge to do what's supposed to be done. And we need to have that relationship and practice with wisdom. And that's going to save you so much heartache. It's going to save you so much heartache. Imagine the apologies you would have had to make if you just had wisdom. You ever have to say you're sorry because you didn't use wisdom, you did something foolish? Bet you'd like to take that back. Are you so sorrowful over it you'd like to prevent it in the future? Wisdom. Because there will be things that will feel good, but God said no. There will be things that will feel good, but they're costly. And those costs might not always present themselves up front. And hey, here's an idea. Did you know that there are other things that feel good that won't hurt you, and God says they're okay, and you still feel good? Did you know that? I thought you, if you look at first blush at anything you see in the media, anything you hear people talking about nowadays, I've got to destroy my body to feel good. I got to kill brain cells to feel good. I got to lie, cheat, steal. I got to cut throats in business. I got to do whatever I got to do to feel good. According to God, I got a peace that passeth all understanding. And I don't got to buy a single thing. I don't got to utter a single apology. I don't got to get run out of a single town. I don't got to do anything to my body that would hurt it. I don't have to put anything in there. I have it. I already have it. Wisdom, folks. We need wisdom. And along with the wisdom, we need what? We need our kinswoman. We need understanding pulling for us. What's understanding? Understanding is the discernment. It's discernment. It's connection building. It's risk assessment. It's knowing the problems before they happen. You know what drives me nuts? When people start to argue over certain things in the Bible as far as where the rules are split. And what is the difference between a precept, a principle, and a preference? Right? I sat there for 20 minutes one time listening to two people argue over whether or not a man's pants can be down to here or down to here. I go, well, what does the Bible say? Why does the Bible say it? What's prevented? What's the worst that could happen either way? What are we looking at? Right? Discernment. Understanding. Right? One person will sit there and say, well, here's another argument. I was listening to, there was an article, I'm stuttering. There was an article, and then there was a discussion under the article. If you ever get the opportunity to not go into the comment section, take it. Don't go into the comment section. Like, it's one of those things, you know, not to look at a car wreck. I can't believe all these people are stopping looking at the car wreck. The article was this: whether or not we should have water bottles in the auditorium. One preacher got it, made a very good point that it is a sanctified place. It is a place of seriousness. It is a place of naturalness. But I sat there going, you know, I've heard this preacher preach and he had a water bottle on the pulpit. Yeah, I've brought water bottles in here. I know you all have brought water bottles in here. I haven't said anything. Why? Because discernment. Like, I'd ask you not to bring an open container Coke in here. I'd ask you not to bring that kind of a beverage, no coffee or anything. But if you're sick or you're poorly and you need some water, I'd be respectful with it. Don't start a water fight. But the point, they're going back and forth. They're going back and forth. I mean, listen, what you need is some discernment. For me, I know that the rules that I set down, the things that I agree to, are backed biblically. And I'm going to sit there and say, why? What is the purpose of this room? Right? So I'm never going to have a time where we go get a coffee, come in here, and do something. I'm just not going to do that. Why? Because we want to be serious with this place. We do. Now, does that seriousness carry to you taking a sip of water to stop a cough? Not to me. Am I going to get passionate enough for a 400-comment thread? No. Discernment. What's important? What's not important? Guaranteed, while you're all sitting there arguing over whether or not you should have Dasani or you should have any of the other water brands out there. Well, if you're going to have it in there, I agree with it, but you got to be careful with the company. I get that. I get discernment, but you got to be able to really look at what we're looking at here. Right? Hey, do you have this water bottle, that water bottle? Does it matter? Do you have the truth in your church anymore? That's where discernment matters. Right? I'm all for having rules based off of discernment. I am. I've proven it. But what we're trying to get at is real discernment. What is there? What does the Bible say? We were kind of talking about that this morning. I came from a group where at any given time, if I had a question about my business, I grabbed the book. You know who wrote the book? Michigan government wrote the book. I pop it open. This is what I've got to do. I grew up with that in church. All right, well, what am I supposed to do about this situation? I pull the book down. I open it up. This is what I've got to do. Instead, what do we see out of preachers and churches today? I found two verses that back up this random thought I had. Therefore, it's doctrine. It's not discernment. Amen.
Well, God says He so loved the world, and sinners are a part of the world, so He loves you regardless of your sin.
Well, yeah, but that's not encouragement to stay in your sin. And under no circumstances, you should be able to come as you are. Absolutely. Right? The woman at the well, come as you are. The Gergogenes demoniac, come as you are. The crippled, the wounded, the weak, the lost in sin, the people that were so deep into themselves, the possessed, come as you are. But He didn't leave you that way. But that is the doctrine interrupting our churches. That because God loves you, sin is okay. What on earth would be okay about something He had to send His Son to die for? There was blood on that. It's not okay. So yeah, come as you are. But you lay your sin down. We need discernment. We need to be able to build connections on things. You know what? And that's where you stand on stuff. You know where? When you've got something and it's not clearly labeled, where I've got a specific don't do it, you look around. You dig around in Scripture. What does it say about this? Hey, where does it say I can't have a tattoo? Where does it say I shouldn't smoke? Where does it say I shouldn't do this or that? And all the kinds of sins that people bring up, it doesn't specifically say you can't. Well, half the time I've had that, it is in there. Black and white, sometimes red. It's there. You just didn't look. Half the time. The other half of the time, if you looked around at other things, you go, okay, all right. There. Well, what does it say? I can't have a big old statue of Jesus in my... It doesn't say, thou shalt not have a statue of Jesus. No, but it does say that you can't have a graven image. It says, don't make unto me a graven image. What do you think that means? Oh, well, you see, that was referring back to the Babylonian... No, that's what it says. Discernment. Don't be convenient with Scripture. Right? It's awful convenient how it means what it says it means when you want it to do that. But we got to get vague when we don't like it. Right? I think we were talking just recently about what? Grape juice in the church. Grape juice versus wine. Listen, if I lay this whole thing out end to end, I firmly believe it's got to be wine. No question in my mind. I look at it. That's what, yeah, but there's a lot of scholars. You know what? There are a lot of scholars. Thousands, millions of them maybe. You know what I find? Most of these guys don't agree with each other. You're still picking your favorite. Look at the Scriptures. Practice discernment. Amen. Well, the Bible doesn't specifically come out and say that you shouldn't drink. Yeah, but if I put all the verses together and I look at them, it doesn't look like something I ought to do. Right? There's only one cause where I ever see where drinking was good. And it was medicinal because Timothy's stomach was upset. Right? Probably drinking that bad water. Right? That was it. Not even as a beverage, but as a medicine. I lay those things end to end. I get a bad picture of it. I do. Right? How many of you, before you go in and you buy something, right? You're looking up something online. Maybe you're shopping. You look up at those online reviews. Right? Oh, this nose trimmer's got a 5-star review. That's nice. Right? This one's got 2. But it's cheaper. I'm going for it. Right? You don't do that. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But you want what works. If I lay everything out end to end, I see the truth. That's discernment. That's understanding. So I've got wisdom and I've got understanding as my family. I've got an authority in my life speaking the truth to me. And if I have them, folks, you can be as close to bulletproof as you can. You can. Well, hey, do you want it? Nope. Why? Because I see it. You don't see it? I see it. No. It could do this. I'm not. Nope. No, no, no. Come on. It's just a group of the boys. Yeah, you know what? I love the boys. The boys are great. But you know what? I'm not going there.
Well, why? Well, you know, you don't like us? You don't trust us? No.
That place is bad. I'm not going there. It's a relationship I have between me and God. Right? Well, if you want to
not be our friend,
I didn't say that. If you don't want to be my friend because I love God, that's your business. If I've got to go to that store to be your friend, guess what? I guess we're not all that good of friends as I thought we were. If I've got to follow you to every dumb place you want to go for us to be friends, that's kindergarten.
You do what I say or I'm not your friend anymore. Well, fine.
Amen. I love you. I'm not willing to throw you out in the street because I won't go to this place. But if that's how cheap you see me, adios. I just uncomplicated my life a little bit. Well, what about, you know, yeah, we were thinking of maybe going on over here to this place and we were going to head on over here. No. It's old-fashioned, but I've got some heavy views on like group swimming. It's old-fashioned, I know. I don't think men and women ought to be swimming together.
Well, nothing's going to happen.
Okay. Not the point. It's the nakedness. Bible says you ought not be showing each other that stuff.
Oh, man, well, that's old-fashioned.
Yeah, it is. You know what else is old-fashioned? The way your heart works. Aren't you glad for it? What else is old-fashioned? The whole law about not killing people. Isn't that nice? Don't you like that one? I like that one. I like that. That's a good one. Well, you know, this is old-fashioned not lying. Doesn't break your heart when people lie to you? Yeah. Well, there you go. Just because something is old doesn't mean it's bad. A lot of good things are old. Can't think of a lot of new things that are all that good. Right? You can. We were replacing refrigerators and dishwashers that had survived 10, 15 years. For the same exact product that lasted less than it took for the warranty to expire. Right? That's fine. But I look at it and I say, no, that's not something we're going to do. That's not something I'm going to be pushed into. Discernment, understanding. When we've got them, we're more able to kick these things aside. We're more willing not to do what we're about to read. That's verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And she goes on and she talks about, oh, the sweet things she's got waiting for him back at the house. Now, we don't, from this illustration, I'm sure it may be an illustration, it may be something he actually experienced looking out the window. But I don't see where these two would have known each other before, but here she is. Oh, I came out to meet you because I knew you needed me. And I've prepared for you. Every sinful heart, every sinful attitude, every temptation does not come in with fanged teeth and warning signs. It comes in subtle. It comes in sweet. Oh, you know, to me, red flag. To me, the biggest red flag I ever have is when people come up and all of a sudden they think I'm just the coolest person ever. The quickest way to get me to not trust you is within 5 minutes of meeting me, you saying that, you know, I think you're a really wonderful person. You don't know me. Right? Come talk to my kids. Come talk to my old bosses. You'll find out who I am. But you didn't ask me. You don't know anything about me. Right? Here's what's happening. You're selling, you want me to buy. Right? Whether it's in your pocket, whether it's on your liquor cabinet, whether it's in your wallet, whatever, you want me to tag along. My answer is no. Right? That's what discernment, wisdom, understand. That's what that gives you. Amen. Come take a sip. No, I watch what it did to my family. I'm not taking it. Oh, well, you know, you're strong enough. No, God says, no, I'm not doing it. Right? My parents could have, my whole family line could be Charles Spurgeon. Every one of them, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, all of them could be Spurgeon. I would still have to say no because God said no. That's it. Teetotalers, all of them, no. Right? Well, you know what? These things, they're legal now. You can have a little bit of this. You can have a little bit. It's legal. It may be lawful, but it's not expedient. No. Right? Why? But it'll do this for you. It'll do that for you. I just want you to feel good. I just want great things to happen. Or how about this New Age philosophy that we have, where it's always been there, humanism, this idea of every idea you have, truth lying from inside of you, and you create your own truth. And really all we've ever done in this nowadays is create television characters and stand by them. Right? I'm always this. I'm never that. I do this, I do that. Even when we sit down to funerals, we hear that. We try to paint this person like there's some kind of book character, like we're opening the script to a play, and this is the character description of them, and they're never anything other than that. That's not how we are. The Bible says we are clay. Clay. Damaged by sin, molded by God. Those are our two choices. That's what we are. Right, what you are as a youth, you are not as an adult. Right? As a young adult, you're not what you are when you're older. Right? Who I am today, by God's grace, if he gives me another 20 years, I hope he's not who I am in 20 years. I hope I've grown. I hope for maturity. I hope that I stay steadfast. But you're going to change. Right? Oh, no, but I read on YouTube and there's this professor and there's all these people. That's wonderful for them. You got some 18, 19-year-old telling you about life they've never experienced. Telling you to make decisions based off of your feelings. Well, I feel this way. I feel that way. There's people out there, they feel like they're cats. They're cats. Now listen, you laugh, I'm angry. How on earth does that happen? We've taken leave of our senses. We've put complete fools in charge of the microphones of this world. And we've got to be compassionate towards that. Amen. You want to sit there and you want to take a bunch of kids and you want to teach them that in kindergarten? I heard somebody say this. I almost lost my mind. Well, if you don't want them to learn about these kinds of relationships, I guess you don't want them to find out about any kind of relationships. They're in kindergarten. Of course not. You think I'm going to take my kids, set them aside, talk to them about all the drugs out there in kindergarten? Why? Why would you want to talk to my kids about that? Why on earth is it important to take a kindergartner, a first grader, and tell them about sex? Why? We never did it before. We shouldn't be doing it now. Yeah. And by the way, I don't care what size degree you've got. That's my job. Yeah. As the parent, I do that. And parents, that's what we need. Yeah. Parents back in charge of their kids. But we got to do the work. They're not going to learn to pray on their own. They're not going to learn to study the Bible on their own. Mom and dad need to sit down with the schoolwork. Listen, one of them has already got to a point in math where I struggled. I it's hard. Right? We laid that stuff aside years ago. We got to pick it back up now. I get this hard. But you got to be there for them. Right? I saw this Governor DeSantis down in Florida. Well, we're going to teach kids about credit scores. We're going to teach kids about banking. And they got to pass a test on all that before they can get out of high school. Where are your parents? I mean, I get it. Thanks. That's awesome that they're doing it in schools because a lot of parents are dropping the ball. Parents, stop dropping the ball. There's your solution. Because otherwise, there's people out there going to meet them on their first day of college, getting them as many credit cards as they can sign up for. They do it. Otherwise, they're going to be sitting there teaching about all kinds of debauched behavior and tell them your parents weren't educated enough to be able to handle this. We'll cover it. It is a lie. Amen. Parents, we need to step back up. Grandparents, we need to step up. Because she's out there. And what is her lesson? Hey. Come on. You're going to get a little hit of dopamine off of this. You're going to get excited. It's going to feel good. Oh, hey, by the way, even the fact that mom and dad don't know you're doing this is cool. Right? I remember the first time I got behind the wheel of a car. Mom said, go to the grocery store, get these items, come right back. But I had a license. Drive anywhere I want. I drove and I hit the drive-thru. Got drive-thru. Ooh, we felt so bad. I'm not supposed to be here driving. This is a dorky story. I'm sure many of you did much worse. Came back with the food. There's a thrill that comes from your parents not knowing what you're doing. There's a thrill that comes from doing what you know you're not supposed to be doing. That's why it feels that way. Can I ask you this? Is that really the basis for a decision as to whether or not you should or should not be doing something? Because you get a little thrill out of it? Hey, kids, you know, if you sit there and you want to rewrite who you think you are, develop your own identity, and you can change whatever you want about yourself, you'll feel real good. You know why? Because that level of uniqueness does feel good. But is it the truth? No, you're not a cat. You're a person. You're not an elf. You're not, if you're a boy, you're a boy. You're a girl, you're a girl. It's just what it is. Right? You like wearing dresses? That's what it is. Right? You like wearing short hair? That's what it is. It ain't nothing different. It's what it is. It's simple. But we complicate it so we can feel good. Come on, feel good. Put this in your mouth. Put this in your veins. Put this in your nose. It'll feel good. You'll get a little thrill out of it. All you're doing is dopamine chasing, right? Follow the YouTube. Like, subscribe. Do all the things to it. Make sure you got all the new apps that you need. Keep scrolling. Keep flipping. Keep doing everything. You'll feel just a little bit better. You'll feel just a whole lot better by this. Come on, feel good. There's more than one way to feel good. I don't have to trash myself to get there. They say to you, this will satisfy. Look at all the lies that she told him. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. She says, come, let us take our fill, and forgive me if I skip the rest of that verse. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. Listen, there is all of this reward, no risk. We don't have consequences anymore. You're free. You don't have to answer to a church. You don't have to answer to mom and dad. You're at the prime age of 7 now. You can decide yourself. Oh, no, you're in college now. If you want to get blackout drunk, wake up in a weird place, right? Take complete loss of control of your body. Let other people deal with your passed out, inebriated body. That's fine. It's funny, right? And then you tell me this. When these kids, they wake up and they find out that something horrific has happened, those same institutions and those same people, they're always so supportive, right? Hey, this happened. He drugged me and this happened. Well, you're at the party. You deserve it. Tell me that doesn't happen. The same institution that says live it up is the same one that will let you down when you're violated. Those same people, well, I don't know if she made it up or not. They brought you to the feast. They got your drugs so they could take advantage of you. And then when you woke up and these people selling this stuff, they don't want to take responsibility for the consequences. How weird. How weird. Right? Oh, nothing bad could ever happen. Bad things will happen. Right? From the small to the great, you may not even be able to enumerate what it is that happened. At the end of the day, you've insulted God. At the end of the day, you've disobeyed God. You got to answer to Him. And sin always does what sin does. It'll affect your life in one way or the other. there are some sins you can commit, you might never see a physical payback for it. It may seem like the perfect victimless crime. God said don't do it, but you know what? I drink a little bit here and there. I smoke a little bit here and there. I do this a little bit here and there. Never bothers anybody. But what you find is that it compromises you in other ways. Well, wait a minute. I did this and it felt good. Do you think God uses whether or not it makes you feel good to decide whether something's a sin or not? No. Sin's a sin. It's a sin because it does what it does. Causes things in you. Changes your mind. Pulls you away from God. And oh yeah, by the way, there's the whole deserving hell because of sin. Come on. He says don't do that. The fact that it feels good doesn't mean anything. There are thousands of things that feel good. Thousands of things that reward. We are not stuck with the ones that grieve God. We have options.
But she sits there and she beckons. The good man is gone. The bed is clean. Nothing bad could happen here. Verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Till it gets you. He never saw the perfumed bed.
Nope. He never saw the food, never took his fill of all the things she promised. What he got was a dart in his liver. What he got was death.
Well, and of course, now I'm going to back off and I'm going to say not every sin leads to immediate death. But I tell you what, it's an illustration.
It will eventually get you. Hey, listen, you got to stop lying to mom and dad. That's kind of becoming a thing. Hey, you got to stop stealing from mom and dad. That's kind of becoming a thing. Hey, listen, you got to stop sneaking out at night. That's really going to mess you up. Hey, you need to cut out these drugs you're putting in your body. Hey, listen, you just got busted for doing that. We had to come bail you out. You got to stop that. And it finally turns into calls. Will you please help me? I'm drowning in this. Will you please help me? I can't get out of this. Can you please? There's no helping you. You dig a hole so deep. You've got to repent. No, I'm not going to give this stuff up. Then there's nothing I can do to help you. Right? I'm throwing you the lifeline, and you're swatting it away because you like the feel of the water. You're drowning. It is filling your lungs. It is filling your mind. You are blacking out in your sin. And you're swatting the lifeline away because it's a good day for a swim. Right? It'll eventually get you. If not that sin, another will come in. And more distance between you and God will come. And a distance between you and the people that you love and your church will separate you. The sin will separate you from your family. The sin will separate you from all kinds of things. Used to be in our time of day, or that used to be back at a different time of day, when families were closer than they are today. They talked. You see more and more kids growing up, leaving mom and dad. Right? If you were to see my incident report book that I kept for work, it was filled with incidents that involved kids just not wanting to deal with their mom and dad for one reason or another. And most of the time it was the same. Well, I haven't really spoken to her since we kind of had a falling out over me doing this and me doing that. Oh, too strict. They were too strict. They were too mean. They were too suffocating as parents with all the rules. I had to push them away. That's what happens. There'll always be some kind of a death.
Eve in the garden, she thought, as the devil told her, you're not going to die. In her head, she goes, I can take this and it's not poisonous. Death found her anyway. But you know what's funny? And not funny, it's sad. Do you know where death found Eve first? Where death found Adam and Eve first? Wasn't in their bodies, was it? Oh, they changed. Their bodies changed. They began to, you know, decay and age on their own and all that stuff. They did. Where'd death find Adam and Eve first? Abel. It was in their own son's blood. They found death first. It was in the family. You drop the ball on God. You go after your own sin. Do not be surprised if the presence of sin in your family causes it to hurt.
So what's the warning? What do we get at? We're running out of time. Let's get some focus here. Let's get me going. Verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let thine heart decline to her ways. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. You see that word, strong men. I'm tough. I can handle this. You can't play with the devil. You can't. You can't play with sin that's taken down many a person. You can't. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now in here, we can sit there and very easily see who she is. Now many of us, as you can tell, and I'm going to use a little bit of verbal acrobatics as I do when we've got children present. You know what she does. You know her job. But she is an illustration, a metaphor for so many things that fall into our lives. So many things. I know we don't normally do this in the preaching service, but I just want to do this. Raise your hand if you've been interested in the Grammys over the last 3 years. The Grammys. Huh? Oscars? Anybody here watch a television or movie award show in the last 3 years? No? You probably wouldn't admit to it anywhere in a group. It's a pressure situation, I get it. But I doubt many of us have really... Anybody want to raise your hand and say all of a sudden it caught your attention this year for something? Man, that party comes and goes. I never think about it. Right? Oh, yeah, they had the Oscars last night. The what? They're still doing that? Okay. And the reason why not? One, Hollywood hasn't done much of any good. Two, whoever wins is always somebody I've never heard of and never care about. And the movie I've never seen, and if I did see it, it was lame. I'm just saying. So, it's just not a Baptist kind of a thing to get into. But all of a sudden, man, here we are. Did you hear? I'm sitting out. I probably spent 10 whole minutes on it. Just reading that stuff. Going, what? Look at that. What happened? I would not normally give it the time of day. Hey, come look at what we got going on. We got two dipsticks slapping each other. Come on. Look at that. Hey, listen, on the news, right? You're conservative, right? You like the Fox News? Hey, come over here to Caitlyn Jenner. Come look at this. See this over here? Gas prices. You like put gas in your car? Well, no, nobody does. But you put gas in your car, right? Oh, yeah, I put gas in my car. Come over here, look at these prices. Woo! What does that do to us? Right? Hey, you go to church, right? Yeah, I go to church. Here's an article on how many young people are leaving churches on a regular basis. Oh, that's a bummer. Hey, look at how many churches closed up during the pandemic. Hey, look at this report. Hey, look at this. Look at this study that we did. Hey, did you hear this? Did you hear that? And they pump it on and pump it on and pump it on. And here's Christians all across the world. Oh, no. Did you know that when Jesus did this, like the disciples, they had to do this in the wake of Jesus' death. Did you know that? Did you know that after his ascension, they had to do it at the cost of their brothers, sisters, wives, husbands, children being murdered in the streets? Did you know that? Hey, did you also know that the one of the tightest, the strongest, the most on fire we've ever been in? Is when we are running to other countries for our lives. And we're sitting there going, oh, well, even so, come Lord Jesus, over some gas prices. Well, we got Joe Biden in there. Oh, no. I ain't worried. Amen. I know. Why? Hey, come here. Come here. If you just give me your emotions for a second, right? I don't want your body. I don't want your mind. Give me your emotions. Come here. Let me show you some stuff. No. I'm not going that way. Right? Hey, let's sit around and talk about, let's sit around and talk about the politics and this and that. And I tell you what, if we could just get a Republican in there, come on. Who do you think we're going to put in there going to fix billions of sinners in a country? Who are we going to put in that? Who are we going to put in the White House going to fix that in 4 years? It's not going to happen. Amen. My hope is not in this world. Now follow me. My hope's not in this world. My delight's not in it either. It's not. My delight is in these walls. And without these walls, my delight would just be in the congregation of us. My delight is in that book. My delight is in the Lord. My delight is in those young people sitting in that back pew. Right? My wife who's gone out for a coffee or something. I tell you what, having a baby will help you get your steps in. I'm just saying, taking your baby to church, you'll get your steps in. But now listen, my desire, my hope, my feeling is not in this dumb planet. It is not in the people that are around it. And you look, this young man, who was he among? He was among the simple ones. That's not an insult. It's just a bunch of people who just, okay, all right, let's go. Right? Hey, we got a little money in our pocket. Let's go down. Let's see if we can find someone on a corner somewhere. Why? Well, it feels good. And, you know, I got an addiction. We got to do this. We got to do that. How else am I supposed to get a thrill? And all the other wonderful things out there in this planet. God put a lot of wonderful things. And we sell them and we trade them and we ignore them so we can have what? Lies. At the end of all of it, what is the warning? Decline not. Now, to decline means that you started off higher. You were taught better. You know better. But you're not doing it. Right? When mom and dad taught you, they taught you to be like this. And there's all this nonsense down here. Come on, right on down. See what that's about. No. Don't go down there. Don't go down on that street corner. Don't go to that store. Don't go to that place that reminds you and tempts you. Don't go around those same old people that would call you back into it. If there's something inappropriate going on, I'm staying away from them. Not going near it. Well, that's very dismissive and very judgmental. No, it's protective.
Right.
It's protective. I love my neighbors. I do. I love my neighbors. I have some good neighbors. There's a lady across the street. She's a volunteer firefighter. She's got foster dogs. Sweet couple down the road. There's this other lady who she's got a brand new snowblower this year, right? She went up and down the street, blew everybody's snow out one day. I thought that was pretty cool. Came back another day. If she could get to it, I love my neighbors. Good people. Honk on a horn. How you doing? Love them. Good people. I lock my door. Is it because I don't like them? No, I love them. They're great. Right? If there's somebody out there and they're struggling and they've committed crimes in the past, do I hate them? No. I understand they're struggling. Let's get you some help as to what we got to do. Absolutely. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to let any of that in my house. Not going to do it. Right? You're struggling. Let's get you some help. But do not help yourself to my family. Do not help yourself to my things. I'll give them to you, but don't you come in here in the middle of the night getting rowdy. That's my feeling on it. That is our desire when it comes down to sin. I know it's out there. I will help people get through it, but it is not welcome in this heart. It is not welcome in this mind. We draw the line and we hold fast to it. We do not decline. Instead, we abide in the teaching. We got to remember that she beats the strong, right? That this sin, this temptation is able to take over and conquer anybody. It is. Right? Oh, no, I can do it just a little. There was a training video we had to watch about high-functioning meth users, people who use methamphetamines. I said, well, most of the time, the person was sitting there talking about, most of the time you never even really know we're on it. It's perfectly fine. Most of us don't develop any issues, no hard addictions to it. And I sat there and I go, well, I know several people who would tell you that that's wrong. I do. I know several people who had grabbed a hold of them and it ate them up and it tore them out and it tore up their faces, tore up their teeth, tore up their lives, tore up their bank accounts, ruined their careers. And there you are sitting there going, well, most of us can handle it just fine. I know a lot of people that said it, I could not handle it just fine. And I count them not weak, but among the strongest people on earth. Sad. Right? Well, you know, as long as the wife and I, we've got certain rules and we got guidelines, we got a contract we signed, we can live this kind of a lifestyle and nothing ever bad will ever happen. Okay.
Sure.
Why do you need a contract? Well, just in case something goes bad. Why would something go bad? If you love each other and trust each other, why would something ever go bad? Oh, well, you know, sometimes bad things happen. Oh, okay. But nothing bad could ever happen? Yeah. And I'm the dumb one. What am I trying to say is this. Temptation is more than just an easy thing. It's always complicated. It always looks good. It always feels good. But the answer is always the same. Resist the devil and he'll flee. God will never let you be in a temptation he cannot get you out of. You do not have to sin. And for all the lies the devil tell you about how good of a time you're going to have and how it's the only way you'll ever have a good time, right? This old adage of, well, if you can't create your own lifestyle, if you can't just do whatever it is that you want, if you can't subject your body to whatever you think that it needs and change everything about yourself, if you can't do that, you'll just get depressed and die. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. Because tell me again, in a world where we're so welcoming and we're building highways to a lifestyle that's supposed to fix us, why is the death rate going up? Why are the suicide rates going up? Why are the anxiety rates going up? Well, we're more aware of it now. Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting in the 90s, we didn't even know about anxiety. I keep forgetting that in the 80s and in the 90s, depression wasn't even a thing. Right? Judas didn't even know he was suicidal, I guess. Right? It's all brand new. We didn't really get the keys to the car of our brains. Until we started opening up Apple computers, man, we had no idea. We're not for YouTube. We'd be back in the Stone Ages where we'd have no idea what emotions were. But, and I don't mean to be cruel. I don't mean to make fun of things, but I'm angry. I'm angry at what they're doing to young people. I'm angry at what we're doing to adults. I'm angry at what's going on because we're pitching a lifestyle of sin, debauchery, ruining your body, killing your brain cells, pumping hormones into yourselves, doing whatever you can because you want to be unique, different, and doped. Tired of it. We resist it. We decline not to her ways. So let's pray. Heavenly Father,